Beacon Pictures presents a rich Ludwig V. Howard Rosenman and Saturn production.
This will be the final boarding call for Flight 2 to London Heathrow.
Okay.
1987. Jack, a handsome man in his early 20s, kisses a young woman and hugs her tightly.
I'm not even gonna say it, Kate. Maybe it'll be like I never left.
He heads for the boarding gate.
Wait.
She approaches him.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
About the plane? You think it's gonna crash? Don't say that.
Look, I know that we've talked about this 1,000 times, and we agreed that going to London was the right thing to do. But in my heart, this feels wrong. Don't go, Jack.
You mean don't go at all? What about my internship?
Believe me, I know what an incredible opportunity this is for you.
For us, Kate.
Right, for us. But I'm afraid that if you get on that plane...
Look, we're at the airport. Nobody ever thinks clearly at the airport. So we should just trust the decision we already made. You've been accepted to one of the best law schools in the country. I've got this internship at Barclays Bank. We have a great plan, honey.
You want to do something great, Jack? Let's flush the plan. Let's start our lives right now, today. I mean, I've no idea what this life is going to look like, but I know that it has the both of us in it. And I choose us. The plan doesn't make us great, Jack. What we have together, that's what makes us great.
He kisses her passionately. She looks relieved and overjoyed.
And 1 year in London is not going to change that. 100 years couldn't change that.
Kate's face crumples with anguish and her eyes fill with tears. Jack turns and heads towards the gate, carrying a bag over his shoulder. Kate sobs. 13 years later, it's morning. Jack's in bed reading a financial paper while a sexy young woman gets dressed.
Last night was incredible.
Huh?
I said last night was great.
You are an amazing lover.
Thanks. You're not bad yourself.
I want to see you again.
I'd like that too.
Tonight.
It's Christmas Eve, Jack.
So I'll pour eggnog over you.
I have to go visit my parents out in Jersey.
Jersey? Do you have any idea what the traffic's gonna be like?
That's why I'm taking the train. It was nice meeting you, Jack.
He smiles.
Sempre un amabile, leggiadro viso, impianto.
Jack's singing from some sheet music, starring Nicolas Cage, Taya Leone, the Family Man. He strides through his spacious and plush apartment, dressed only in his underpants, and stands before some large windows overlooking an American city. He opens his arms and belts out the opera, and skips over to a closet lined with expensive suits. He selects a suit and lays it on a table, then picks out a tie and shirt. Now he's in an elevator going down from the 48th floor, fully dressed and still singing. The doors open to a woman holding a small dog.
Mrs. Peterson.
Hello, Jeff. You don't have to stop singing on my account.
Oh, it's because I'm shy, Benny. So, when are you gonna leave that old corpse, Mr. Peterson, and run away with me?
You know you could never satisfy me the way he does.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Campbell.
How'd you make out this year, Tony?
About $4,000 and a bottle of 25-year-old scotch from 9D. I'm putting it all in commercial paper, like you said.
Good, but just until the Deutschmark turns.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
All right.
A majestic Christmas tree sprinkled with lights stands proudly outside the apartment building. A sports car races down the highway, and now we're in New York City. Jack is driving the car, conducting with one hand clad in a black leather glove. A few people twirl on the outdoor ice skating rink in Central Park. Now a towering skyscraper. Jack's silver car pulls up outside and is greeted by a man in a suit. Jack gets out of the car and tosses his keys to the man. Directed by Brett Ratner. In the office, a middle-aged woman to a young woman.
Campbell wants these available. Thanks, Adele. Better you than me.
Jack's chairing a meeting.
MedTech shares fall any lower than
43. We're in trouble with the stock valuation, so for God's sake, please, watch what you say to your institutional customers. We still have almost a full day of trading before 00:00, and I don't want any trouble.
A man doodles distractedly.
Penny for your thoughts, Alan.
Hmm? Oh, God, I'm sorry. Jack, I was thinking about, you know, Dee and the kids. I promised I'd be home for dinner. It's Christmas Eve, Jack.
What is that, tonight? You think I like being here on Christmas Eve, Alan?
No. Well, maybe.
Okay. Okay, maybe I do have a touch of tunnel vision this holiday season. But in 2 days, we're going to announce one of the largest mergers in U.S. corporate history. When a deal like this turns up, you get on it and you ride it till it's over. You don't ask it for a vacation. December 26th, after that, there'll be so much money floating around here, it'll be like Christmas every day. December 26th, people, if you'd like to celebrate that day, you all have my blessing.
You're right, Jack. I'm really sorry.
No, I don't want you to be sorry, Alan. I want you to be excited. I want my gift to you to be the first gift you open this year. You know why? Because my gift comes with 10 zeros.
You're right. I'm focused. I'm there.
Good man. Everybody turn to page 12 in your prospectus.
Much later, the businessmen and women pour out of the meeting room. Alan's secretary hands him a bundle of gifts.
Six messages. Two of them are in
No, Rose, are you nuts? I'm going home. I'm not even here now. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Only 8:30. I'm disappointed. Got some last-minute shopping to do.
You too. This holiday's about giving, Adele. I'm giving everything I've got to this deal. So in a way, I'm more Christmassy than anybody.
You're my role model, Jack. Oh, and Oxford called.
Ooh, my suits are ready.
Mm-hmm.
Care for a lifesaver?
No, thank you.
Help yourself.
Jack sits behind his desk, examining his message slips.
Kate Reynolds.
Her assistant said you could reach her at home after 8.
Kate Reynolds was my girlfriend in college. I almost married her.
You married?
Almost married, and almost a broker at E.F. Hutton.
Excuse me?
She didn't want me to go to London. We're standing at the airport saying goodbye, and she asked me to stay.
So you left her?
Wasn't easy.
Oh, stop it. I'm getting all weepy.
I took the road less traveled, Adele.
And look where it took you. I'm gonna get this gal on the phone.
Adele picks up the phone and starts dialing.
No.
You almost married this woman. You're not even curious why she called?
Well, she's probably just having a fit of nostalgia, you know, lonely Christmas Eve, call the one that got away, that kind of thing. I mean, why call her back and mislead her? This happened a very, very long time ago.
8:35 on Christmas Eve. Jack Campbell's still at his desk. Now there's a hallmark moment for you.
Peter, I don't see you rushing home to trim the tree.
Got a call from Terry Haight. Bob Thomas is nervous.
That'll happen when you're about to spend $130 billion on some aspirin.
Somebody's got to nurse him through this.
Why are you staring at my breasts, Peter?
I need you, Tiger.
Where is he?
Aspen.
Call Aunt Irma and tell her I won't be able to make it tomorrow.
You're a credit to capitalism, Jack.
Hey, Peter, let me ask you a question. An old girlfriend calls you out of the blue on Christmas Eve. What do you do?
You suddenly having trouble getting dates?
Yeah.
Leave it in the past. Old flames are like old tax returns. Put them in the file cabinet for 3 years and then you cut them loose.
I'll leave for my office tomorrow in the afternoon. Call the group. Schedule an emergency strategy session for noon.
That'll be a nice little holiday treat.
Adele heads off. Later that night, Jack is alone in his office. He switches off his computer and goes over to the window. Pulling back the drapes, he gazes down at the lights of traffic on busy streets far below. Now he strides out of an elevator and across the lobby of the building.
Good night, Frank.
Hey, Mr. Campbell. Why didn't you call down? I would have had you get your ride.
I'm thinking I'll walk tonight.
That's a nice night for it. I'll send your car home for you.
That'll be fine.
And Merry Christmas to you, sir.
You too.
Jack heads out of the revolving doors and strolls down the street with a pensive expression. A few flakes of snow drift down around his shoulders. Jack turns his head up to the sky, a street lamp spilling light across his forehead. After a long, thoughtful pause, he walks on, with snow falling steadily from the darkness up above.
Okay.
As Jack makes his way over to the refrigerator, a young man comes in wearing a baseball cap turned backwards on his head.
Yo, big buster, y'all do the lotto here, right? Y'all do the lotto here?
Yeah.
Cool, because I got a winner, baby. I got a winner. Ooh, certified good as gold. I know lotto keep a lot of brothers down, but not cash money. No, no, I'm saying don't do me none, son, because I'll be like... on the lottery, you know what I mean? It's all good. Relax, son. Relax, son. I got you four numbers. Check it. Bust it. 6, 14, 16, 49. That's a winner, son. $238, B. Cheddar coming.
Check my shit. Give me my money.
You kick it fat. You draw in the lines.
What are you talking about, B?
You draw in the lines with a pencil. I know about this.
Yo, bust it. Check the ticket, son. Check the ticket.
Oh, you get out.
Yo, you ain't even look at the ticket. You looking at me, son. Check the ticket,
son. You get out now. You take the ticket somewhere else. Next customer in line. No, you get out or I call 911.
Oh, my God.
A gun.
Check the ticket, stupid. Look at the ticket. Shit, 911. I'm gonna make you call God. That's my word. You best check that ticket, fool.
Let me see the ticket.
Was I talking to you?
Maybe I'll buy it from you. You know, make a little business deal.
Stupid-ass white boy in $2,000 suit gets capped trying to be a hero. News at 11. That's what you want to see? You want to see cash up in here? You want me to set it, son? Do you want to die?
He's pointing the gun at Jack.
Do you want to die?
No. Look, I'm talking about a business deal. Okay, I buy the ticket from you for $200. Take it to a store where the guy behind the counter doesn't have a death wish. I just made myself a quick $38. Like I said, it's just a business deal.
The gunman considers the proposal, then lowers the gun.
All right. Yeah. All right.
He goes over to the counter.
You blew it, B. You blew it. Ticket was real. Damn, you had your chance, too. Come on, Jack, let's get out of here.
Jack throws some money onto the counter, then follows the would-be robber out of the door. Now they're walking down the street in a flurry of snow.
How'd you know my name was Jack?
I call all you guys Jack.
Yeah.
Nice doing business with you.
Hey, what do you want to carry that gun around for anyway? You're just gonna wind up doing something you regret.
Talking to the wrong person about regrets, Jack.
I mean, there must be programs out there and opportunities.
Wait a minute. Are you actually trying to save me? This is bananas. This man thinks I need to be saved, yo! Well,
everybody needs something.
Yeah? Well, what do you need, Jack?
Me.
You just said, everybody needs something.
I got everything I need.
Wow. It must be great being you.
I'm not saying that you'd be able to do it without some hard work, some honest hard work, and possibly some medicine.
You know, I'm going to really enjoy this. You just remember that you did this, Jack, okay? You brought this on yourself. Merry Christmas.
He hands Jack the carton of eggnog, then strolls off. Jack throws the carton in the trash can and walks down the street. He returns home, dumps a pile of mail on a desk, and takes off his jacket and scarf. Now, dressed only in his underpants, he switches off a lamp and plonks onto his large double bed. His eyes are closed in the semi-darkness, a band of soft light from a bedside lamp illuminating one side of his face. His face is still and expressionless. Suddenly, his eyes flicker open. He looks confused. He looks down to find a sleeping blonde woman draped around his body.
10 more minutes, Jack. It's Christmas.
She turns over and hugs his waist. Jack glances at her face with growing bewilderment. Jack shoots out of bed.
What is this dog doing on the bed? Lucy, get off this bed.
Santa come?
Lord, I don't know. We'll have to go see if
there's presents.
Jack's pulling on some clothes.
Strong coffee.
Jack rushes down the stairs of a large house wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Oh, Jack! Merry Christmas, dear!
Lorraine! Ed!
Hey, Jack, you old bird dog. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, talk to him, Jack. One day a year away from the Ponderosa. I don't think that's asking too much.
This is who I am. Tell her, Jack. For God's sake, you're the only one around here. Gets me.
I need some eggnog.
Of course you do, sweet thing. It's almost 8 o'clock in the morning.
Excuse me.
Where are you going, Jack?
Jack rushes out of the house.
Jack, Eddie, get him! Big Ed's here!
Where's my Ferrari?
What?
Where's my Ferrari?
The hell are you talking? What's he talking about?
You got a Ferrari?
Look, let me borrow your car, and then I promise I'll have it returned.
My caddy? Drive your own damn car.
Oh, just let him borrow your precious Cadillac, for God's sake.
There's a perfectly good minivan sitting out there in the driveway here. What the hell's wrong with him anyway?
Jack scrambles out of the snow-caked house and over to a silver minivan. He gets in and starts the engine. Now he's heading towards Manhattan. He pulls up outside his building and rushes towards the entrance. Tony, the doorman, is standing outside.
Tony, thank God. Sorry, Tom, entrance is for residents and guests only. What? What are you talking about? Jack Campbell, penthouse seat. What's the matter with you? Mrs. Peterson, I think there's something wrong with our man Tony here.
Who is this man?
Oh, come on. What is going on with you two this morning? Is this like a Christmas joke? Who is this man? Well, we're on the co-op board together, Betty, and we fought side by side for garbage disposals, and every morning we exchange quasi-sexual, witty banter, okay?
Should I call the cops? I'm gonna call the cops.
No, I'm gonna call the cops! You're scaring me!
No.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for not calling the cops. Now, I'm going upstairs, maybe get some sleep, and then I'll be fine.
Sleep you shall. Noblesse oblige isn't dead. Not yet, anyway. Let's get you some help. Surely there's a shelter somewhere in the city.
A shelter? Hey,
Hey, are you smacked out of your head? I'm the richest man in this building. I got twice the square footage you have, and I'm going upstairs.
Take a walk, pal.
Oh, not cool. Not cool! You want to get cute? Get cute. I'm going to go to my office. I'm going to file a complaint to the manager of the building. I'm going to have you fired, Tony. And Mrs. Peterson, you're on notice with the co-op board, so you better just stop whatever this is that you're doing.
He gets back into the minivan. He pulls up outside his office building.
Frank, you won't believe what's been happening to me. Is Adele here yet?
Right there.
Where's Mance?
The building is closed, pal. You have to come back tomorrow.
Frank, why do I feel the need to remind you that I'm Jack Campbell, president of the company?
Look, I don't care who you are. It's Christmas, and like I told you, the building is closed.
I don't think you heard me correctly. I'm Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell. President!
He points to a notice board, but instead of his name as president, it's the name Alan Mintz.
Have a nice holiday, man.
Looking shocked, he staggers out of the building and across the road. A sports car skids to a stop in front of him. Cash, the would-be robber, waves to him from the driver's seat.
Hi, Jack.
You stole my car!
Now, I know this whole thing is really bizarre to you and you're feeling quite shocked, but just hop in. I'll explain everything to you, okay? Come on. Come on.
Jack gets into the car.
You're probably gonna want to buckle up, Jack. This thing moves.
What's happening to me?
Breathe into the bag, Jack. This kind of thing makes a lot of guys have to throw up. I've seen it happen before, okay? So if you feel the urge, you roll down the window and do it out there. And try not to get so worked up, Jack, okay? After all, you brought this on yourself.
Brought what on myself? I didn't do anything!
I got everything I need. That sound familiar?
You mean because you thought I was cocky? I'm now on a permanent acid trap!
Bag yourself, Jack.
The car narrowly avoids smashing into a bus.
The way you intervened in that store last night, you did a good thing there, Jack. I mean, it was incredibly impressive, all the way across the board to the upper echelons of the organization, let me tell you.
Please just tell me what's happening to me in plain English without the mumbo jumbo.
This is a glimpse, Jack.
A glimpse? A glimpse of what?
Well, you're gonna have to figure that out for yourself, and you got plenty of time.
How much time?
As much time as it takes, which in your case is probably going to be considerable.
Okay, look, I just want my life back, okay? Now, what's it going to take? You want to talk turkey? Let's talk turkey. How much money?
It doesn't work like that, and I can't tell you why.
Why not?
Because you have to figure this thing out for yourself.
Are you listening
to me?
Figure it out. Figure out what?
Let it come to you, man.
Yeah, I don't have time for this right now. I'm in the middle of a deal.
Well, you're working on a new deal now, baby.
Cash hands him a red plastic bag.
What's this?
Open it.
Some kind of a signal?
A bell.
Will you come whenever I ring it?
Now you gotta get out of the car, Jack.
But what do I do?
I'm sorry, I just can't spend any more time with you. I got some other business I gotta take care of.
No, you did this to me. You can't just leave me like this.
Okay, look, you want to get some air? Let's get outside, get some air, we'll walk, and I'll explain everything to you, okay?
Thanks, man.
Sure.
As Jack gets out of the car, Cash speeds off. Jack stands next to his minivan, watching helplessly. Minivans speeding along a highway. Jack examines a map as he drives. Now, the minivan trundles through a quaint suburban village draped in snow. Jack pulls up and slides down the passenger window.
Excuse me, do you know where Marison Street is?
Jeannie, I found Jack.
Oh, there you are, stranger. Where you been?
Arnie shows Jack into the house.
You look terrible. Truth is, I expected you. Kay called and asked if I knew where you were, so.
Jack gazes at a leather chair.
Oh, I know. I put the bark lounger in the center of the room. It's throwing everybody off. What do you think?
Jack looks distracted.
It's a great room. Great room.
You and me, buddy, we know how to live, huh? Come on.
Jack recoils.
Come on, Jack. Come on. Come on, buddy. Take your seat.
Jack sits at a bar in the living room.
Are you okay? I mean, you take off Christmas morning and, you know, you don't tell anyone where you're going.
A photograph of Jack with Arnie.
We're friends.
Talk to me.
I'm having kind of a bad day.
You know, I read somewhere that the suicide rate doubles during the holiday. What am I saying that for? You don't want to hear that. Come on. Is it trouble at work?
I don't think so.
Wait, it's not Kate, is it?
Jack looks startled.
You see? Huh? It's like we're inside each other's heads.
Kate's my wife.
Just keep saying it over and over again, Jack, like a mantra. Keep saying it.
Now they're trudging through the back garden.
Look, you know, you fit the profile exactly. Your 30s, house, kids, financial responsibilities. You start thinking, this isn't the life I dreamt about. Where's the romance, you know? Where's the joie de vivre? Suddenly every lingerie ad in the New York Star Ledger represents a life that you can't have.
It's just two kids, right?
Come on. All right, sometimes it feels like you gave up the whole world. I know that, but look what you got. Look at that, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, a partially finished basement, and kids. Look, you know what? Probably don't want to hear this right now. You remember last summer when I almost had that thing with Arnie Jr.'s speech therapist? You remember what you said to me? You said, don't screw up the best thing in your life just because you're a little unsure about who you are. Okay?
He gives Jack a hug.
Go get him, Tiger.
Bewildered, Jack trudges towards his house and glances back with trepidation. He comes in, anxiously clutching the red plastic bag. He walks into the house, looking around nervously. Kate rushes into the room, taking the phone from her ear. She throws her arms around him.
Never mind, because he just walked in. Thank you. Do you have any idea what you put us through today? You walk out of here at 7:30 in the morning. You don't tell me where you're going, or even that you're going. And I don't see you till hours later. I called all of our friends. I had the state troopers looking for you. I was on the phone with the hospital, for God's sakes. What kind of a man leaves his family on Christmas morning without a word about where he's going? What kind of a man does that, Jack?
I don't know. Could you please stop yelling at me?
Where were you?
I was in the city.
City? New York City?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's where I live.
Don't start, Jack. Don't.
Look, you don't understand. I woke up this morning here. And this is very strange because this isn't my house.
Ugh.
Those aren't my kids. I'm not dad. I'm not a dad. You're not my wife.
You know what, Jack? It's not funny this time because I am really mad. I mean, really mad. I mean it. I don't even...
Jack rings the bell, glancing round expectantly.
Who is Dad?
His daughter grabs it.
I like it. Thanks, Dad.
That's mine. Hey, I need that back. She took my bell.
You missed the whole thing. The pancakes and the presents. You spent 6 hours putting that bike together for Annie, and then you didn't even get to see the look on her face when she opened it. You missed Christmas, Jack.
I'm sorry.
You know what? We don't even have time for this. At least you're okay. I'm okay, we're okay, but I gotta go get dressed for the Thompson party, and you are not wearing that. I don't care how hilarious you think it is.
Party? No, I'm not going to a party.
You look forward to this party all year. What is it with you today?
Believe me, Kate, I really don't think that going to a party is the right move for me at the present time.
Okay, fine. You know what? Then you just do whatever you want to do.
What are you doing?
Telling my mother that she doesn't have to stay with the kids.
Why not?
Because you'll be here.
Jack looks disturbed as Kate gets on the phone.
I'll be ready in 10 minutes.
He looks at the clothes in his closet.
This is just subpar.
A selection of workman-like shirts. Jack's daughter strolls into the room. Jack glances at her with a look devoid of emotion, and she runs away. Now, a large house decorated with Christmas lights.
Oh, the weather outside is bright.
There
it is. Here
you go. A smiley woman in a bright red dress goes to answer the door.
Kay, Jack,
Evelyn.
Come in. Whew. Hey, everybody. Kay and Jack are here.
Hey.
Jeannie.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Jack, Merry Christmas.
So, like the dress?
Oh, it's lovely.
I thought I saw you notice it at the kids' recital.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
Jack dives straight for the drinks table, pours himself a measure from a decanter, and downs it in one.
There he is. Hey, Jack. Happy holidays, man.
Yeah.
Jack, come on over.
Jack gulps down his third drink.
Hey, Jack.
Cheers, baby. You guys see Van Horn last night?
Oh, beautiful. 32 points.
That kid's gonna take the Nets to the championship.
Oh, the Nets? Are you kidding? They suck.
The men look bewildered.
But they do. They certainly do.
So, tomorrow's the big day, Jackie.
Okay. Why?
My triple bypass. I'm going under the knife tomorrow. I told you that, right?
Triple bypass?
Yeah.
You really think you should be eating all that?
Yeah. Figure I'm going in for a cleaning tomorrow. Might as well load up on the fried stuff tonight, right?
That's good thinking, Bill. Have another drink, you know? Some fried pork, mashed potatoes. He'll be dead by morning.
How about a cigar, Jack? Oh, no, thank you. I'm cutting down.
Come on. They're American-made, not Cuban.
Oh, really?
Yeah, come on.
Jack smells a cigar.
Very nice. Don't you like them?
The man likes it.
Superb. How about you, Juan?
I'm all right, thanks.
Finger food?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
Oh, come on. As soon as I put them down, you're going to grab a couple.
No.
You always do.
I'm okay.
Let me. They will melt in your mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
She stuffs an hors d'oeuvre into his mouth.
Good?
Fabulous.
At the end of this whole thing, She made me this hand-embroidered sweater. It was really lovely.
Nice.
So I'm slipping it on, and I noticed that she's misspelled the word lawyers.
Uh-oh.
I spent the entire day walking around with a sweater that said, nonprofit layers, do it for free.
So you're a lawyer. A nonprofit lawyer. Pro bono. You don't get paid at all? Nobody makes a dime?
Jack? Anywho.
Kate and Jack return home, wrapped in their winter coats. A large dog bounds up to Jack and jumps up on him.
I better go wake my mom. There you go.
I don't think so.
She's your dog, Jack.
No, she's not.
You're right. She's the kid's dog. Maybe we should go wake Josh and make him walk her.
Kate has handed Jack a leash.
If you could take a dump sometime in this century, then we could go home where it's warm. If I can even remember how to get home. You remember, don't you, girl?
Kate is asleep on the bed. Jack peers around the doorway and tentatively steps into the room. He picks up a folded red plaid nightshirt from the bed. He holds it in his hands, staring at it, and then sighs. Now he's asleep in bed, wearing the plaid shirt. He scratches his nose, then clutches the pillow beside him. A relieved smile spreads across his face. The smile evaporates, and he opens his eyes. Jack throws back the covers and springs out of bed.
Hello?
Kate is dancing naked behind a frosted shower door.
Hello? Hey!
What?
She opens the door.
Baby's crying.
And? Don't give me that look, Jack. Tuesday's your day, and you know it. And listen, try and get Josh to daycare on time, okay?
She closes the door and continues strutting her stuff in the shower. Now, Jack lifts up baby Josh's legs and looks at his nappy. Annie is watching behind him.
All right.
He takes off the nappy, revealing a brown smear of baby poo.
Holy Mother of God. Oh.
Annie points to a small disposal unit. Jack flips it open and tentatively pokes the soiled nappy inside. Now, she points to a box of wet wipes. Jack opens them. Josh lets rip with a spray of urine. Jack looks flustered.
You're not really my dad, are you?
No, I'm not. I work on Wall Street. You know, with the big buildings. And I live in an apartment with a doorman, and I can buy almost anything I want. This isn't my life. It's just a glimpse.
Where's my real dad?
I don't know. But don't worry. He loves you, and I'm sure he'll be back very soon.
She carefully lowers herself from a plastic climbing frame and walks slowly across the room, her wide brown eyes fixed on Jack. She's wearing a pair of pajamas. Jack watches her curiously as she goes over to a small wooden chair, picks it up, and carries it over to him with a forlorn expression.
What are you doing?
She stands on the chair and clasps his face in her hands. She looks it over, then tweaks his nose with her fingers.
They did a pretty good job.
Who did?
The aliens in the meadow ship. He looks just like him.
Thanks. Slightly better looking, though, right? Oh no, you're not gonna start crying, are you? I don't think I could really deal with that right now.
Do you like kids?
On a case-by-case basis.
Do you know how to make chocolate milk?
I think I could figure it out.
Promise you won't kidnap me in my bottle and plant stuff in our brains?
Sure.
Welcome to Earth.
Outside the Playland Day Center, Jack parks the minivan. Annie and Josh are in the back.
This is where babies go when their parents are at work.
Check.
Jack gets out of the car and opens the door next to Josh. He fumbles with the baby seat, trying to unfasten it.
Just push the red button.
He does as he's told, and the seat springs open. Jack lifts Josh out of the seat and carries him at arm's length over to one of the day center's staff. He hands him to her.
Do I get a receipt or something?
A little later, the minivan slows to a halt outside Annie's school.
I have winter camp until 4 and ballet class until 5:30.
5:30.
And
okay.
Try not to be late because kids don't like to be last one picked up.
Got it. Good tip.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Annie, where do I go now?
Big Ed's.
Big Ed's Tires? Why?
Because you work there.
You mean I sell tires? That's what I do. I'm a tire salesman.
Now, Jack drives the minivan along the road towards Big Ed's Tires.
Good Lord.
A huge cardboard cutout of Ed in a Stetson looms over the shopfront. Jack pulls the van into a parking area in front of the service department. Mechanics in blue overalls mill around, wheeling tires and helping customers. Jack turns off the ignition and gets out of the van, looking around apprehensively.
Morning, Jack.
Hi.
Another mechanic passes him.
Morning, Jack.
Jack wanders into the shop, which is dressed with Christmas decorations. Ed strolls over to him.
Jack, my boy. Hey, guess who I played bridge with two nights ago? Hell, you'll never guess. One Sidney Potter. That's Sidney Potter, CEO Buy-Right Transport. Only the third biggest trucking outfit in the state. Anywho, he's looking for a new parts supplier. We can handle volume like that now, can't we, Jack?
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that, Ed.
Right on.
Right on.
Ed clicks his fingers at Jack, then wanders off. Jack approaches one of the sales assistants.
Excuse me, do I have a private office somewhere in the building?
Yeah, sure, Jack.
Where is it?
Oh, it's right back there.
Thank you.
Jack hurries into a room, slamming the door behind him. The door is covered with Annie's colorful drawings. Jack looks around warily. The office is small and cluttered. On the desk is a pen holder, inscribed with the words, "Bowlers do it in an alley." He pulls out the chair and sits down behind the desk. He opens the drawer and takes out a small black book. He leafs through the pages.
Oh, no.
He opens another drawer, discovering a bottle of scotch. He takes it out.
You must have needed this every day.
He opens the bottle and grabs a paper cup, cleaning out the inside with his finger. He pours himself a drink and takes a gulp. He crushes the cup with his hand, then tosses it into the waste paper basket. He notices a framed photograph of himself smiling with Kate.
What are you smiling about?
A plaque reads, Sales Associate, 1988.
88? I was in London in 1988.
He looks at his photograph.
You never went to London.
Jack, you needed in Mad Wheels, customer waiting.
Jack follows the puzzled-looking sales assistant from earlier across the shop floor.
I was the number one junior sales associate for EFL in 1988. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. That's great.
That's the kind of thing you could really build on, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, sales has always been a feeder for M&A. Always.
Uh-huh. Well, look, here we are. Mag Wheels. So, hey, Jack, are you sure you're okay?
Well, I'm just a little confused right now about why I work here.
I just started here last Tuesday.
Now it's nighttime, and Jack's lying in the bedroom.
The closing tick was a mildly bullish plus 76. Much of the market's action today was fueled by the latest round of merger mania to hit Wall Street, when Global Health Systems and MedTech Pharmaceutical announced their intentions to join forces in a massive $122 billion stock swap deal, the largest ever in the healthcare industry. When asked about the possible anti-competitive implications, Global Chairman Bob Thomas referred reporters to PK Lassiter and Company President Alan Mintz, the original architect behind the deal.
That's my deal!
Ironically, Mintz first met Thomas at a Lamaze class. While coaching their pregnant wives, Mintz and Thomas struck up a dialogue, and 2 months later, the deal with MedTech was born.
He wasn't the architect. I'm the architect.
Now, U.S. Labor Department officials announced today that 275,000 new jobs were created last month.
The kids are asleep. The kids, hon. Honey. Sweetheart. I said the kids are asleep.
Well, that's just great. Those little monkeys can be a real handful.
Hey, I was watching that.
Not tonight.
She pulls off her sweater.
Please leave my socks alone.
She pulls off his socks and unbuttons her shirt.
Wait. You want me?
That is the general idea, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we should grab a bottle of wine first. Break the ice.
Yeah. That's very funny, but it's 10:30. By 11 o'clock, you're going to be snoring like a monster, but that's very sweet. I'll remember that for next time.
Whatever you say. Honey.
Yeah.
He puts his arm around her, and they start kissing passionately. He withdraws and gazes at her face.
God, you're beautiful.
Thanks, Jack.
No, I'm serious. You're really stunning.
This is good stuff. I want you to keep this up.
I mean, you were always a very pretty girl in college. There's no question about that. But this... You've really grown into a beautiful woman.
How can you do that?
What?
Look at me like you haven't seen me every day for the last 13 years. Okay, well, wait, don't move. Don't look, stay right there. I got something.
She hurries into the bathroom, closing the door behind her. In front of the mirror, Kate applies some red lipstick with her finger. She's wearing a sexy black dress. She pouts seductively, then comes back into the bedroom. Jack is lying on his side, asleep. Kate smiles wistfully and pulls the covers over him.
Good night.
She kisses him on the side of the head, then picks her sweater up off the floor and turns off the music. She tugs on the sweater, turns off the lamp, then climbs into bed next to Jack. She snuggles up against a pillow with her back towards him. Lying next to her in the darkness, Jack opens his eyes. His expression is still and thoughtful. Now it's daytime at Bloomingdale's.
Okay, we're almost out of here.
Mary Jane's mom, you promised.
That's right, I did promise. Okay, all right, we're gonna stop at the kids' shoe department first, and then I gotta pick up my watch from the battery store, and then I'm gonna go to the linen store.
Why don't we go to all the stores? Every single store in this godforsaken shopping mall. Wouldn't that be exciting?
You know what? Why don't I take the kids, and you just stay here and hang out in the men's department? Come on.
Jack wanders into a plush-looking designer suit department. Rows of expensive suits hang from the rails. Jack stops and studies them intently. A balding salesman approaches him.
It's perfect for your frame. Why don't you try it on?
Jack's trying on the jacket in the mirror.
You might want to take an inch out of the back.
Okay.
Lengthen the sleeve.
Kate approaches with Annie and Josh.
You look amazing in that suit. I mean, really, wow. Off the charts, great.
It's an unbelievable thing. Wearing this suit actually makes me feel like a better person.
He buttons up the jacket and examines his profile.
I'm gonna buy it.
Kate looks at the price tag.
It's $2,400. Are you out of your mind? Come on, let's go.
She got those shoes.
Those shoes were $25. Come on, take it off, all right? We'll go to the food court and get one of those funnel cakes you like. Your dad is a crazy guy.
No. Do you have any idea what my life is like?
Excuse me?
I wake up in the morning covered in dog saliva. I drop the kids off, spend 8 hours selling tires retail. Retail, Kate. I pick the kids up, walk the dog, which, by the way, carries the added bonus of carting away her monstrous crap. I play with the kids, take out the garbage, get 6 hours of sleep if I'm lucky, and then everything starts all over again. So what's in it for me? Where are my Mary Janes?
You know, it's sad to hear that your life is such a disappointment to you.
I can't believe it isn't a disappointment to you. I could have been 1,000 times the man I became. I could have been one of the richest Forbes. How could you do this to me? How could you let me give up on my dreams like this? Really, I want to know.
Who are you?
All right, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was such a saint before, and I'm such a prick now. But maybe I'm just not the same guy that I was when we got married.
You know what? Maybe you're not. Because the Jack Campbell I married would not need a $2,400 suit to feel better about his life. But I'm telling you, if that's what it's going to take, then buy it. We'll take the money out of the kids' college fund.
Forget it. We'll get a funnel cake. It'll be the highlight of my week.
It's nighttime, and they're traveling back in the minivan. Kate stares with a forlorn expression out of the window, then blinks wearily, whilst Jack looks uneasy as he drives.
Listen, I'm really sorry about that back in the store. I don't want to fight with you. I just sometimes wonder how we ended up here, you know? I mean, back in college, did you see us here?
Life has thrown us a few surprises, I'll give you that.
It really has, hasn't it? So, if you had to, what would you say was the biggest surprise? Just out of curiosity, I'm just asking.
Annie, for one.
Surprise, we're pregnant. Yeah, that must have been. I mean, that was a very unexpected moment. But what are you going to do?
I think it turned out all right, don't you?
Yeah, I really like Annie.
Well, good, Jack. Maybe we'll keep her.
No, I love her. I love Annie. We had a lot of good times, didn't we?
Do you remember the place on Charles Street where we used to go?
Charles Street? In the village. When we were living in Greenwich Village. Yeah, great times. Great place. Why did we ever leave?
You can't really raise a kid in an apartment in the village. And then there was a whole trek out to the hospital that didn't help either. You were great. I mean, surviving the heart attack was one thing.
You had a heart attack?
Hey, Jack, stop that, because I'm still mad at you. Who knows what would happen if you hadn't stepped out of this door?
That's why I work for Big Ed. That's why I work for Big Ed. Yeah. So we had a baby. Big Ed had a heart attack. We bought that house, and I've been working for him ever since. Sayonara, Wall Street. Our life in a nutshell.
If you want to look at it that way.
How would you look at it?
A great success story.
What do you say, Jack? Show him how to do it, baby.
Come on, Jack, we need a strike.
Damn! Jack, what are you doing? It's a league match, all right? Where's your follow-through? Where's your stance?
You know what? I'm doing the best I can.
It's okay, Jack.
Yeah, it's all right. Look, why am I so competitive all the time?
Go.
You can still pick up that spare.
Yeah, looking good.
That spare.
Crack him, Jack.
Come on, Jack.
Here we go.
Hurt him.
All right.
Come on, Jack. Pick
up. You're Jack Campbell. You're better than the sport. Shot the rabbits in Kenai. You ran with the bulls in Pamplona. You jumped out of the mountain over the Mojave Desert. For Christ's sake, you can do this. You can do this.
His ball knocks down a few of the pins, but his teammates look unimpressed.
Yes! Victorious! All right!
High five.
You're up, Slash.
Get him.
Later, Jack emerges from the men's room and strides through the dining area, where Evelyn from the Christmas party notices him.
Hi, Jack.
Evelyn, right?
Very funny. I saw you out on lane 20. You got the flu or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Need a nurse?
Are you a nurse?
That's what you want.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't run away. Are we
what, Jack?
Well, is there something going on between us?
Her smile evaporates, and she looks at him seriously.
Are we finally being honest?
It would help me if we were.
Okay. You're right. We've been dancing around this for years. Here goes. When I get dressed for a party and I know you're going to be there, let's just say I don't go strapless because my husband likes it. I've got 6 sets of snow tires piled up in my garage, and I won't even drive in the snow. And our kids just happen to be in the same ballet class every year. So if you're asking whether I'd like it to be more, the answer's yes. Kate would never have to know.
Jack looks intrigued.
Do I have your number?
Steve's out of town with the kids this week. Why don't you just stop by?
She smiles at him seductively, then turns and walks away. She pauses, turns back and flashes him another smile, then heads off. Jack returns to his table, sitting opposite Arnie.
Hey, Jack. You're all flush.
I feel good.
I guess that 71 took a lot out of you.
No. I just saw Evelyn Thompson.
She's relentless.
She wants to have an affair with me.
She said that?
Pretty much.
What is it about you?
So, if you would write her exact address down there. You have a pen? Please.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a sec. You're not actually thinking about cheating on Kate, are you?
Well, it wouldn't really be cheating, Arnie. It's complicated.
Maybe I haven't been as good a consigliere as you've been to me, okay? But hear me out on this, okay? A little flirtation is harmless, but you're dealing with fire here, all right, man? The Fidelity Bank and Trust is a tough creditor. You make a deposit somewhere else, they close your account forever, all right?
Arnie, I don't want your head to explode, but I'm telling you, those rules don't apply to me.
I'm not talking about rules, Jack, all right? I'm talking about... There isn't a guy in Union County who wouldn't give his left nut to be with Kate, all right? Just think about that, all right?
Arnie gets up and heads off, leaving Jack looking thoughtful. Now, Kate's sitting at the kitchen table, working on a laptop, when Jack returns home.
Hey, honey. How's the game?
Long, boring, and generally pretty sad. Arnie seemed to enjoy it. Sort of. Hey, where's that chocolate cake?
Do you mean this chocolate cake?
That's my piece. I was saving it because I got nauseated by that pre-cooked mini mall rotisserie chicken.
It's good.
Give me that cake.
No way.
Come on.
I'm sorry. It's too important to me.
He lunges for it. Kate runs away with the cake.
I want it.
She squashes it on his face.
Thank you.
It's good, right? Uh-huh.
He does the same to her. They're lying on the stairs, laughing, their faces covered in chocolate.
Oh, God.
The kid's asleep.
They share sticky, chocolate-mouthed kisses.
Say it to me, Jack.
What?
You know what I like to hear.
Oh, yeah, baby, I know what you like to hear.
And tell me.
You're a bad girl, baby. You make me so hot.
What?
Not it.
Nice, Jack. Sweeping me off my feet.
You make me hot.
She climbs up the stairs. He notices a caricature drawing of himself and Kate on the bookshelf with a bowling ball and pins. On the next shelf down is a stack of videotapes. One of them is labeled Jack Singing. Jack takes it over to the VCR and puts it in. He sits down on the sofa and switches on the TV with the remote control.
What do you say, everyone? This is a little birthday party for Katie.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Good to see you kids still together. Hello, kids.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Very exciting. Evelyn, you look tremendous.
Thank you.
Look what happens when I do that. Jack?
Yes.
The man?
Yes.
Do you have anything to say to your lovely wife on the day of her birth? Are you happy she's born?
Today's your birthday?
Yeah, it's funny, Jack.
Well, you know what? Wow, your birthday. It's you're my wife. You are my wife. It's your birthday. Well, actually, I do have one thing that I want to say to you. And God, I hope you like it. Bill?
Yes.
Oh, no.
You hit it, Bill. You wore that shirt last year, by the way, just so you know.
Many guys have come to you with a line that wasn't true.
Oh.
Pass them by.
Pass them by.
Now you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing. Why don't you let me try? I don't wear a diamond ring. I don't even have a song to sing. All I know is la 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 means I love you. La 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 means I love you.
Jack's smiling as he watches. On the TV, Jack and Kate fall into each other's arms and gaze at each other lovingly.
The things I am saying are true, and the way I explain them to you.
Get down!
Listen to me, la 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 la.
Jack's smile fades as he watches, and his face becomes full of emotion. They kiss.
Yeah, Jack! There's love in the air. He loves her. It's official. There's love.
Jack switches off the TV. Now it's morning and snow coats the house and the front lawn. Jack's asleep in bed when the dog comes over and licks his face. Jack pats it away. Kate leans over and switches off the alarm.
Come on, it's time to get up. Go. Go.
Jack sits up, his eyes closed and his hair sticking up. He stands up and trudges out of the room. As he leaves, Kate shoots up in bed, a mischievous smile playing across her face. In the kitchen, Jack puts a baby's bottle of milk in the microwave, then turns on the coffee percolator. He shuffles over to Josh's cot with the bottle in his hand.
Morning, Joshy.
He returns to the bedroom to find Kate holding a huge red present.
Happy anniversary, honey. Now listen, before you do whatever crazy stunt you've got planned, I want you to open mine first.
Maybe I should wait.
No, come on! Come on, come on, come on, come on, open it!
He rips off the paper.
Xena.
He opens the box, revealing a folded suit.
I found it at an outlet store. Look, I know it's a knockoff, but I think it's gonna look great on you. Oh, enjoy it, sweetheart.
Now, Kate closes her eyes and opens out her hands expectantly.
Yeah, you're probably expecting something from me. Here's the thing. I hadn't really planned on giving you your anniversary gift until tonight. You know, anniversary's good all day.
What are you talking about? You can never wait all day. You can't even wait till it's light out. Come on.
I know, that's me. It's true. But it's funny.
Her smile disappears.
You forgot.
You actually forgot our anniversary.
I'll fix it. I'll go out right now and I'll get you something. I'll make it right.
She shakes her head, stunned. A little later, Jack mixes up some chocolate milk and gives it to Annie.
Let me know if there's enough chocolate in there, sweetheart.
Not bad.
Good.
I should have warned you. Dad always does something really special for the anniversary.
Like what?
1 year he had a star named after her.
He had a star named after her? Well, that's nice, but isn't that a little corny?
Mom liked it.
Maybe there's a jewelry store back at the mall and I can pick her up a pair of earrings or something.
That's good, but you did forget the anniversary.
That's right. And that is a major oversight. Okay, okay. So, if I'm Kate, I can't afford the finer things. My husband's career is definitely a crushing disappointment to me. I'm trapped in suburbia. Did he ever take her to the city?
Now you get the hang of it.
Manhattan. Jack and Kate are seated at a plush restaurant.
Jack, can we afford this place?
I'm taking my baby out for anniversary. Damn the costs.
The waiter approaches.
Bonsoir. Bienvenue à Loire.
We'll have the terrine of quail breast with shiitake mushrooms to start, then the veal medallions in raspberry truffle sauce, and the sea scallops with pureed artichoke hearts.
Very good, sir. And may I say those are all excellent selections.
You may. Also, we'll have a bottle of Lafitte, 82.
Honey, that's an $800 bottle of wine.
We'll just have some red wine by the glass.
The waiter leaves.
You are so not off the hook yet, Slick.
But I'm getting close, right? You want to dance?
I don't think there's dancing here, Jack.
Ah, sure there is. Come on.
He takes her hand and leads her away from the table. The piano player gives them a smile as they dance among the tables. Jack twirls her around, then dances slowly at her back for a moment before twirling her around again. He dips her gently and she smiles.
Not bad for a tire salesman from New Jersey.
I have my moments.
A little later, they're eating.
You gotta try one of these.
She pops a piece of fish into his mouth.
God, I miss that taste. I need to tell you something.
Okay.
I think it may help us, but there's a slight chance it could make things worse. I'm living someone else's.
He takes a gulp of wine.
I feel like I'm living someone else's life. I remember I used to walk to work, and I had a warm Bialy in my hand and a hot cup of coffee from Dean and DeLuca, and a crisp feeling of the Wall Street Journal. Smell of leather from my briefcase. I used to be so sure about everything, confident, you know. I knew exactly who I was and what I wanted. And then one morning I woke up and suddenly it was all different.
Worse, do you mean?
No. Well, maybe a few things, but mostly just different. That's okay. But I never used to be like this, Kate. I was the guy who had it all figured out. I had no doubts. I had no regrets.
No.
Now I don't. I don't have it all figured out.
Me neither.
But you always seem so certain.
Do you think there aren't mornings when I wake up and wonder, what the hell am I doing in New Jersey?
Yeah.
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 My office is a dump. I answer my own phone, and you've seen my paycheck.
But your paycheck is a disgrace to paycheck.
Can you imagine a life where everything was just easy? You know, like where you ask for things and then people just bring them to you?
It's wonderful.
I think about it, too. I do. I wonder about what kind of life I would have had if I hadn't married you.
And
then I realize I've just erased all the things in my life that I'm sure about. You and the kids.
Good things.
Yeah. What are you sure about?
I'm sure that right now, there's nowhere else I'd rather be than here with you.
She gives him a warm, loving smile. Later that evening, Jack carries Kate over the threshold of their hotel room.
Oh, Jack.
He carries her down the hallway.
You like it?
She pulls back the drapes, revealing a view of the mini Arc de Triomphe.
This is beautiful. You know champagne makes me do crazy things.
Well, I'll just fill yours up to the top.
He pours her a glass.
I don't know how you did it, Haas, but you pulled it off.
I'm out of the doghouse?
Way out.
Happy anniversary, sweetheart.
They sip their drinks.
You may even get lucky tonight, Jack.
They gaze lovingly at each other.
You're so beautiful.
I already told you you were gonna get lucky.
My God. All this time, I never stopped loving you.
They kiss tenderly. Jack's reading a paper when Annie passes, playing the violin. He smiles and then continues to read.
I'm gonna wear the usual today.
What are you thinking?
You want to come to work with Dad? Help me sell some tires? It's fun. Pretty good at it.
Who's this?
Who's that? Who is that? Who's on that tie? Ask Grandpa. Yes.
Jack!
She kisses him passionately on the porch, wrapping one leg around him. She grabs his butt, then sends him off with a big smile on his face.
For the money, this is hands down the best radio we carry.
Okay, I guess I'll take him.
You won't regret it. Tommy, would you set Mr. Conlon up with 4 BF Goodrich G-Force TAs? And give him 10% off for having the best costume.
Oh, thank you.
You bet.
Right this way, sir. Follow me.
Tell me, does the tire smell good?
Remember our Valentine's Day special, balance and alignment for free.
Jack notices a Rolls Royce pull up outside.
Hey, how you doing today? It just blew out on me.
Do you have another tire like that?
I seem to have some sort of a blowout here.
Why don't you let me take this one, Kenny?
Okay, Chief.
Peter Lassiter.
Do I know you?
Not exactly. I've seen you on CNBC.
You look taller in real life.
Truth is, Mintz was so busy timing his wife's breathing, he didn't realize that MedTech needed Global more than the other way around. 10 days, 2 weeks tops, they would have approached you with an offer, and I'm willing to bet anything. It would have been $130 billion, not $122. The trouble was, Peter, you had Pussycat running the show. What you needed was a Doberman.
I'm impressed. I really am. Now, about my car.
Sure. We're gonna have to special order that tire, so it'll be ready in a couple of days.
All right. This is my office address. Why don't you drop off the car yourself?
Jack smiles. Peter gets up and gives Jack a small wave as he heads out of the office. Now, Peter's sleek convertible pulls up outside his company's offices. Jack gets out wearing a suit. He tosses the keys to the parking attendant.
We're really more of a boutique operation, as you can see.
But you're not interested in boutique dollars.
I get it.
He's expecting you, Mr. Lassiter.
Alan, this is Jack Campbell. One I was telling you about.
Oh, of course, Jack.
Hi. Mr. Mintz?
No, 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 just call me Alan. We like to cultivate a very casual atmosphere around here.
I can see that, Alan.
Yes, well, what can I tell you? Do you have kids?
Actually, yes. Two of them. Good ones.
Great, great. Why don't you have a seat? Peter mentioned to me that you're an avid CNBC watcher, but he didn't say whether you had any actual Wall Street experience.
I was a sales associate at E.F. Hutton.
A broker, really? And now you're in the tire business?
That's right. And auto supply.
In the retail end, I understand.
We get about 60% of our business from automotive service.
And do you mind me asking kind of sales you did last year? Just ballpark.
We did $1.7 million in total revenue.
$1.7? That's great. And what do you project for this year?
I think we're going to have a banner year. Sales are up almost 20% in the first quarter, and we just landed a major trucking company account.
Oh, you did? Isn't that great? That's terrific. So that puts you, what, just a tad over 2 million?
That's right. And that would make us number one in our market. Excuse me, I'm going to get a glass of water.
Peter and Alan exchange an awkward glance while Jack goes to the other side of the office.
Look, I know our paltry little $2 million in sales is about what you spend a year on office supplies. And some regional trucking company account is nothing compared to a multi-billion dollar merger.
No. I'm not trying to knock the tire business.
It's okay, Alan. I get it. I'm in your shoes. I'm thinking exactly the same thing. But here's the deal. Business is business. Wall Street, Main Street. It's all just a bunch of people getting up in the morning trying to figure out how the hell they're going to send their kids to college. It's just people. And I know people.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do.
Take you, for instance, Alan. You have a certain energy about you. It's an active kind of energy. I wouldn't be surprised if you drank about 16 Diet Cokes a day. You're an excellent father, but you feel guilty about the time you spend away from home. You drink bourbon, but you offer your clients scotch. And your wife decorated this office.
Certainly seems to have your number.
You're a little tougher, Peter. For one thing, you like expensive things.
That's easy. You've seen my car.
You smoke Coyote Monterey's. You're a Scotch man, single malt. Not because it's trendy, but because you've been doing it for the last 40 years and you like to stay with what works. You have two great loves in your life, your horses and this company. And you're a man who prides himself in finding talent in unusual places.
How would you know that?
Because I'm here. I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to get this job. I'll start wherever I have to start. I'll park cars if I have to. The biggest part of judging character is knowing yourself, and I know this. I can do this job. I can. Give me a chance, Peter. I won't let you down.
Alan, why don't you show Jack around?
This is our war room. We did 7 major deals in here last year, 3 of them hostile.
Seven.
Yeah.
You got a kind of a feeling, you know, from a... Can we cut this shit here for a minute? Well, what did you do? Why did you get that information? Did you go through his wallet? Did you surf some net? Something of that? But it doesn't really matter, because that circus act you pulled back there may have dazzled Lassiter. Doesn't cut any shit with me at all. Even if you get this job, which I highly doubt. Let me just give you just a little word of warning. Peter Lassiter gets tired of his pet projects very, very, very quickly. I've got that big office in there because I've proved myself to him year after year after year, and nobody's going to come in here and turn the old man's head, especially not some tire salesman from New Jersey. So if you're cautious and you're quiet, you watch yourself, you stay away from Lassiter, and maybe I'll think about keeping you on here after he gets bored with you. Do we understand each other?
Alan! God, you really are different, aren't you?
Excuse me?
I mean, wow. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Good for you.
Are we understanding each other?
Yes, Alan, I understand you.
Okay, then.
Good.
Good.
Okay. Okay. Alan.
Now, a plush New York apartment building.
Keep your eyes closed. Hold on. Go ahead, open your eyes. Welcome to Xanadu. It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It's like a museum.
Uh-huh.
The apartment is decorated with lavish furnishings. A chandelier hangs above a dining table.
So what's the big surprise? You didn't rent this for the weekend, did you?
Think bigger.
For the week?
This place is a perk, Kate.
A perk?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
A company called P.K. Lassiter Investment House uses it to attract new executives. I'm going into arbitrage, honey. It turns out I have a knack for it.
Jack, what are you talking about?
I'll be making twice what I make now, plus a hefty bonus, and that's just a start. And we can live in this apartment practically rent-free until we find a place of our own.
Are you out of your mind?
I don't think so. This is going to be a better life for all of us. We've put Annie and Josh into private schools.
Annie goes to a great school, Jack.
I'm talking about the best schools in the country here, Kate.
Jack, what could you possibly be thinking about? What about my job?
Well, I mean, this is New York City. It's like the needy people capital of the world. Your Jersey clients aren't a tenth as pathetic as the ones you could find here.
I can't even believe you're talking about moving back into the city, Jack. I thought the reason that we left was because we didn't want to raise the kids here.
No. No, this is the center of the universe. If I were living in Roman times, I would live in Rome. Where else? And today, America is the Roman Empire. New York is Rome itself. John Lennon.
Jack.
Listen, okay, you know something? I'm detecting, like, a funky tension here, and this was supposed to be a happy day. So guess what? I don't need this. We don't have to live here. Forget it. I'll commute. I'll drive to work.
In traffic, Jack, it's over an hour each way. That's like 3 hours every day. When are you ever gonna see the kids?
Kate. You're not understanding me. I'm talking about a perfect life, a great life. Everything we pictured when we were young, the whole package. You said so yourself. Life has thrown us a few surprises, so we made sacrifices. Well, guess what? Now I can finally get us back on track. I can do that, Kate. I want to do that. I need to do that as a man for all of us. Please just think about this for 1 second. No more lousy restaurants. No more clipping coupons. No more shoveling snow.
Then get a goddamn snowblower, Jack! Don't go get a new career without even telling me about it. And don't take Annie out of a school that she loves, and don't move us out of a house we've become a family in.
She turns away from him.
Don't you see? I'm talking about us finally having a life that other people envy.
Jack, they already do envy us.
She walks away. A little later, Jack's back at home, gazing forlornly at a crisp Lassiter & Company business card. He turns his attention to a framed photograph of Kate lifting up her shirt to reveal a pregnant belly, then another of him and Kate together, and two more of Josh and Annie. He gets up and strolls across the living room, cradling a drink in his hand and sipping from it. He looks at books that line a set of shelves on the wall in front of him. He takes one over to an armchair and sits down. Nestled within the pages is a crumpled airline ticket. The boarding pass reads, Campbell, Jack, London, JFK, September 4th, 1987.
From London to New York. I came back.
Kate comes into the room and notices the ticket.
When you got on that plane, I was sure it was over. I left the airport afraid I'd never see you again. And then you showed up the very next day. That was a good surprise. You know, I think about the decision you made. Maybe I was being naive, but I believed that we would grow old together in this house. That we'd spend holidays here and have our grandchildren come visit us here. I had this image of us all gray and wrinkly, and me working in the garden and you repainting the deck.
She wipes tears from her eyes.
But things change. If you need this, Jack, if you really need this, I will take these kids from a life they love, and I'll take myself from the only home we've ever shared together, and I'll move wherever you need to go. I'll do that because I love you. I love you, and that's more important to me than our address. I choose us.
She walks away, leaving him sitting on the armchair with a thoughtful expression. Now, Kate's in bed, stirring restlessly. She sits up. It's morning. She looks out the window.
Oh, I'm gonna chase you. You can't catch me. No, you can't.
No. Annie chases Jack, pulling him into the snow.
I fell down.
Annie gazes at his face.
I knew you'd come back.
He embraces her.
Hi, Annie. I love you.
It's nighttime. Jack is in the garage. He turns around apprehensively to find Annie sitting on her bike.
What are you doing?
Ringing my bell.
Later, Jack's in a shop picking up a bag of rock salt.
$4.99. It's just salt, for God's sakes.
99 cents, Doug. Out of 10.
You.
Jack! What's up? How you feeling, baby?
Why are you here?
Cash is working behind the counter.
Here's your change, darling. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 01. Is that rock salt? Look at you, man. Went and got all domestic and everything. You really figured some things out, huh?
You're not sending me back.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear me?
Wait a second.
I'm talking to you.
You see that? Character. And for what, for $9? I mean, that's just so disappointing.
I'm not going back. You understand me?
Okay, relax, Jack.
You can't do this. You can't keep coming in and out of people's lives, messing things up. It's not right.
A glimpse, by definition, is an impermanent thing, Jack.
Looking disturbed, Jack counts out some bills on the shop counter.
I've got kids. I'm going home.
He leaves. Back home, Jack goes into Josh's bedroom and watches over him, sleeping. He gently caresses his head. Jack looks down at his boy with an expression of love and tenderness. He turns away and walks out of the room. Now he visits Annie, who's asleep in her bed. He kisses her on the cheek. She stirs awake and looks up at him through half-opened eyes.
Is it morning yet?
No, honey. Go back to sleep.
She turns her face and snuggles into her pillow.
Take care.
Kate's in bed, reading a book.
Hey.
Hey. These past few weeks, I know I've done some unusual things.
It's been interesting, that's for sure.
I've done some good things too, though, haven't I?
You've been Jack Campbell. That's always a good thing.
I need you to remember me, Kate. How I am right now. At this very moment. I need you to put that image in your heart and keep it there. Keep it with you no matter what happens.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Please just promise me. You have to promise me, Kate, because if you don't, then it's like it never happened, and I don't think I can live with that.
I promise.
Promise me again.
I promise.
Okay.
Now come to bed.
Soon.
He gets up and leaves. Now he's walking the dog along a frosty highway lit by a row of street lamps. He veers off the highway and onto the edge of some woods. Crouching down, Jack unleashes the dog and pats him on the head. The dog pads off into the snow. Jack stares solemnly at the dog as a flurry of snowflakes begin to fall around him. He turns his face up to the sky and closes his eyes. The snow falling around him steadily increases. Later, Kate's in bed, asleep, smiling softly to herself. Jack is sitting on an armchair, still in his coat, watching her. His eyes close sleepily, and he fights to keep them open, but they start to close again. His head lolls to one side, and he nods awake. Then his eyes droop closed again, and he falls asleep. Now, Jack's lying in bed on a white pillow, asleep. He leans over and answers the phone.
Yeah. What time is it? Okay. Yeah.
He puts down the phone and sits up groggily. He rubs the sleep from his tired eyes. Then looks around to find that he's back in his New York apartment. He opens his front door.
Waiting for me by the door, huh?
Paula. Wow.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas? It's not Christmas.
It's whatever you want it to be, Jack.
It's not Christmas.
Jack. Jack?
Jack parks his sports car outside his suburban family house. He gets out, his face stricken with anxiety. He walks up to the front porch and gently caresses the brickwork of the house. He opens the screen door. A gray-haired man answers the door.
Can I help you? Is Kate here? Does Kate live here?
Kate? No, there's nobody named Kate here.
Of course not.
You okay?
No.
Now, Jack's driving in his sports car. He fishes in his jacket for his phone.
Hello?
Santa Claus, where are you? Everybody's here.
Adele?
You're a half an hour late. The emergency strategy session, trip to Aspen. Is this ringing any bells?
Everybody is panicked here, Jack. Jack?
I'll be there in 20 minutes.
No, I'm not gonna go talk to them until I have something to talk to them about. Steve, I don't care if it's Christmas Day. We're in crisis here. Wait a minute. Jack just walked in. I'll call you back. Jack, thank God that you're here. Are you all right?
What's going on here?
Well, it's not good. Bob Thomas has been secretly talking to a European drug company, Jack, and we don't know which one. And they're going to let Bob buy a minority stake and at the same time let him keep running the entire company. And Global knows, Jack. They know. I don't know how they know, but they know. And they're up in arms. And they think somehow we should have been prepared for this. Prepared. Oh, God, we're in trouble.
You know something, Alan? Somewhere inside of you, there's a much more assertive person.
Is this another one of those Sun Tzu Art of War tricks?
No.
So what are we gonna do, Jack? Jack?
I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do. You're going to do whatever you have to do to find out which European company he's been talking to. Then I'm going to clean myself up, fly to Aspen, and drink eggnog with Bob Thomas. His wife and kids will be playing in the background in the snow while I convince him that the European company is the devil and Global is the answer to his prayers. Then I'm going to spend 4 hours skiing alone. Completely and utterly alone. I'm going to do that because that is my life. That's what's real. And there's nothing I can do to change that.
Now, Jack's sitting in the back of a limousine. He takes out his phone and dials a number.
For Manhattan, Kate Reynolds.
He writes down her number.
I need an address, too.
The limousine pulls up along a cobbled New York street. Jack gets out. He goes over to a blue-painted building set in a row of terraced blocks. The door opens and a man comes out carrying a cardboard box.
It's very fragile, so I want to be really careful with it, okay? It's valuable. It's over 300 years old. Well, you probably need a few guys to carry it.
All right.
And the painting is also very, very old, so if you take extra care, it means a lot to Kate, okay? I appreciate it. Yeah? What? Are you from the moving company?
I'm Jack Campbell. I'm an old friend of Kate's.
Kate, some guys here.
Yeah, hey, Lori, could you call the airline?
Yeah,
they're asking
you
to give us like 2 hours. Jack.
Kate.
God, it's been a long time. You look
great.
Thanks. Come on in. I'm just doing some. Lori, do you know?
Jack knocks some boxes.
I'm sorry.
No, don't even. You know what? Jack, don't even, please. I don't even care. Oh, great. Thank you.
What's going on?
I'm moving to Paris. Hey, Lori, have you seen that box? It says Jack on it, and I put it with the rest of the Salvation Army stuff.
Do you want me to look for the box or call the airline, Kate?
Hey, kind of under a little pressure here.
Hey, kind of giving up Christmas Day for my ex-boss here.
Hey, didn't seem to mind offering to help when she was opening the Prada bag I gave her.
Maybe it's by the wardrobe boxes.
Thank you.
So you're moving?
Yeah, to Paris. My firm has an office there. I'm going to be heading it up.
Paris? Paris, France?
That's the one.
So you're not at a non-profit firm?
Oh, God, no, not with what they pay me.
Are you married?
No, I never got married, Jack. You?
Not exactly. Look, can we take a minute here? Maybe go get a cup of coffee or something?
I'll go for a cup of coffee.
Yes, I found it.
Congratulations. Your earlier flight was canceled, but I got you out of Kennedy on United at 7.
Excellent.
Am I good or what?
Yes, you're brilliant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here you go. It's just some old stuff of yours.
Do you ever think about us, Kate? About what might have happened?
Jack, I'll tell you what. If you're ever in Paris, I want you to look me up and we'll go have that cup of coffee, okay? Or café. Café au lait. Oh, wait. No. Don't close that up. I will never find this box again.
Looking forlorn, Jack wanders off. Now he's back in his limousine.
Make a right here.
Sir, you're gonna be late for your flight.
We're not going to the airport.
Now Jack's sitting in his apartment. He takes out a bottle of aftershave from the box Kate gave him and unscrews the cap. He sniffs the scent. He holds the bottle in his hand, considering it thoughtfully, then puts the cap back on. He puts the aftershave aside, then delves back into the box. He extracts a blue yo-yo. He winds the yo-yo up and down a couple of times. He places it next to the aftershave, then looks back in the box. He takes out a book, Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut Jr., and opens it to find a strip of passport photographs of himself and Kate. Jack looks deeply upset. Coming to a decision, he springs up off his chair. Now it's nighttime, and he's speeding down the highway in his sports car, en route to Kennedy Airport. He screeches to a halt outside the airport.
You can't leave us here. You can't park here!
Jack's running through the airport at breakneck speed. He He reaches the departure lounge, which is crowded with travelers. Jack looks around frantically, then rushes over to a long queue lined up at a boarding gate.
Kate! You can't go! Don't get on that plane! Please, let's just go have a cup of coffee. That's all I'm asking for. I'm sure there's another flight to Paris tonight.
Jack, what are you doing here? Do you need closure? Because if you do, after all these years, you got it. I'm okay. I'm fine. I was heartbroken, Jack, but I got over it. I moved on. And you should move on too. Okay? I'm sorry. I just can't. I've got to go. I'm sorry, Jack. Sorry, excuse me.
She heads back to the queue.
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Kate gets back in line. Jack hesitates, watching her anxiously as she shows her boarding pass.
We have a house in Jersey. We have two kids, Annie and Josh. Annie's not much of a violin player, but she tries real hard. She's a little precocious, but that's only because she says what's on her mind. And when she smiles... And Josh, he has your eyes. He doesn't say much, but we know he's smart. He's always got his eyes open. You know, he's always watching us. Sometimes you can look at him and you just know he's learning something new. It's like witnessing a miracle. The house is a mess, but it's ours. After 122 more payments, it's going to be ours. And you, you're a nonprofit lawyer. That's right. You're completely nonprofit. But that doesn't seem to bother you. And we're in love. After 13 years of marriage, we're still unbelievably in love. You won't even let me touch you till I've said it. I sing to you. Not all the time, but definitely on special occasions. You know, we've dealt with our share of surprises and made a lot of sacrifices, but we stayed together. You see, you're a better person than I am. And it made me a better person to be around you. I don't know, maybe it was all just a dream. Maybe I went to bed one lonely night in December and I imagined it all, but I swear, nothing's ever felt more real. And if you get on that plane right now, it'll disappear forever. I know we could both go on with our lives, and we'd both be fine. But I've seen what we can be like together. And I choose us. Please, Kate. One cup of coffee. You can always go to Paris. Just, please. Not tonight.
She looks both moved and intrigued by his speech.
Okay, Jack.
Jack smiles softly and nods.
Okay.
Now, Jack and Kate are the only two customers in an airport restaurant. Behind them, large windows look out onto a dark, snowy runway. They are engrossed in conversation and chatting with ease.